Hey, this is Pastor David. Thanks for plugging in today. I believe that this word from God will encourage you, challenge you, and help direct you toward your destiny. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and understanding, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Let's get right into the word.
There's no one like our God, no one at all. Gave his son for us, Jesus the Lord. Who can love us like he does? No one at all. Oh, how we love you, Lord.
Hey, 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 friends. Welcome, welcome. I got Pastor Dave here.
How you doing?
Doing awesome. And we've got this awesome freckle-faced fish trying to eat some food. And we're all hanging out in the podcast studio talking about a different breed. Mm-hmm. Pastor Dave's message that he let loose this Sunday was amazing.
It was a lot of fun. And it was a little weird not having most of the ladies in the house. We had this awesome women's retreat that Pastor Tanya leads every year. And actually hoping to get some of you ladies in the studio so we can talk to you about it.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. And that's a different podcast for a different day. But Pastor Dave, while we have you here, we need to pick your brain about this. Because being born again, it's so much more than just a prayer at the altar. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it may start that way, but something miraculous happens in the heart of an individual who truly submits themselves to the lordship of Jesus.
Yeah, it's like a lifetime experience. It's not this one little thing that happens at the altar when you finally give up the ghost, you know, get up there and let your heart be God's. It carries out for a lifetime.
Right, it's something to cultivate. In yesterday's episode of Daily Bread, we talked about 8 truths that we have to come to understand about the born-again experience, which led up to you beginning your message, A Different Breed.
Yeah, it was kind of a prequel. Like, here are some facts that we should understand.
Right. I love it when you do that. It's like a charcuterie board and a meal. You get the snacks and the meat all together. It's so good.
I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds delicious.
So we're moving to the next point. In the message you said, and this is still, I'm going to be chewing on this for a while. You said that promises for the impossible produce only the unhealthy. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I just want to be careful not to confuse that with the God of the impossible. God does the impossible. God promises the impossible. God can make the impossible come to pass. So that's not what I was talking about. Okay. What I'm talking about is this kind of entitlement generation that we live in, this kind of have it now attitude. Mm. Maybe I have a problem with tobacco or alcohol or some other thing, and I expect that the moment I become born again, that I'm going to be immediately freed from all these troubles. Mm. Like, maybe I am an argumentative person or a negative person or a depressed person, and I think I'm going to be just immediately set free. Now, God does do that. I think we're all familiar with testimonies of people who are radically changed at the point of conversion. And I say yes and amen. I'm all for it. But we'd be doing people a disservice if we taught them that that was going to be the case for every individual at every time they got born again. And that if that didn't happen to you, that you weren't actually born again.
Right. That would cause a lot of people to question their salvation.
Because the truth is, healthy change happens over time, and anything healthy happens over time. And in the message, we talked about a real physical example, like people who go to the gym and they work out one time and, you know, they eat one salad and they think, oh, how come I haven't lost 5 pounds? And that's just not how it works in the natural. In fact, we should be very, very careful to avoid things that promise very rapid or very quick changes in our lives. That's not how we were designed to work. Our bodies don't generally work that way. And some things can be absolutely miraculous and happen right now, can happen over time. But even in the realm of healing, I can tell you several testimonies off the top of my head where we prayed for somebody to be healed and we saw no immediate change. And then they went home and they slept, and in the morning they were healed. Or a week later they were healed. Their healing manifested over a couple of days. And, you know, my sense of entitlement would really prefer to have it now. My sense of entitlement would say, I wish that would have happened right now. Maybe it didn't happen. And that's really the enemy when he comes in and tries to convince you that something didn't happen. But we recognize that when we pray, something happens, speaking of the miraculous, right? And so we need to give God the time and space that he chooses to take. And in our own lives, we have to make sure that our walk with God becomes part of our lifestyle. And that lifestyle multiplied by time will create the change that we want to see.
Along with the inner witness that you have when you give your life to Jesus, a true Christian will have a hunger for the things of God. Some of us are hungry, but the enemy makes us feel like we aren't doing enough. Some of us have lost our appetite because of a bad experience or maybe shallow roots, and some of us just want to be more hungry. And we learned that the key to healthy habits, both in the natural and in the spiritual, are based in lifestyle. How can I make my journey with God part of my everyday lifestyle? What can I do?
Okay, so the easiest ones, obviously, are the big three, right? Read your Bible, pray, and worship. And we could say read, pray, and worship to answer any myriad of spiritual questions. So I'm just going to kind of wipe those off the table. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do those. You should absolutely do those things. Those are fundamental and foundational things that you need to
they're
be
just like the no does.
They're the no does stuff. So let's maybe spend our time talking about the stuff that isn't the no duh stuff. Okay, so read your word, pray and worship. Yes. Amen. Do all those things. All right. But the first thing that I would suggest to make living with God part of your everyday lifestyle is to develop a hunger for the things of God. And I know that we just, by saying develop a hunger for the things of God, that's like walking through a door that puts you into a room with 10 more doors,
right?
So I get that, but let me just drop a couple of tidbits in here on how to develop a hunger for the things of God. First and foremost, you need to have the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is a very, very interesting thing. And not to get us spun off on some other crazy topic, but before we moved here to Casper 12 years ago, I spent 3.5 years teaching on the spirit of faith. And one of the takeaways is that the spirit of faith has to be caught. And the spirit of faith is caught by other believers who have the spirit of faith. Now, obviously, God can spark this inside of you, but the best way to grow the spirit of faith, cultivate your spirit of faith, and burn in your spirit of faith is to be around those who have the spirit of faith. So develop a hunger for the things of God. That is the first and foremost number one way to make it part of your everyday lifestyle, because I think reading and praying and worshiping are disciplines that we do, but they aren't necessarily things we find joy in if they don't become part of our daily lifestyle. Because honestly, with so many things that we can choose from doing, most of us choose to do things that we just enjoy doing. And time is at a premium, and so we all want to spend our time doing things that we think are productive or things that are fun or things that we're getting something out of. And we don't always feel that we're getting things out of when we read and when we pray and when we worship. We don't always feel like we're getting something out of that. But you will as you develop a hunger for the things of God. Once you're hungry for God, those things will become much more meaningful to you. And it's all based in this spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith must be caught. You have to get it from somebody who's got it. It's kind of like that bread that goes around. You know, you get that goo in the Ziploc bag, and they're like, okay, so you got to do these 5 steps. And then at step 5, you separate half of that into a bag for somebody else. And then you can cook your bread, but then you've got like a starter for someone else. Like, where does that starter come from? Who creates the starter? You have to get that starter from somebody who's got it. And the same is true with the spirit of faith. Mm-hmm. The next thing that I would suggest to making your journey with God a part of your everyday lifestyle is to pick a subject in the Bible that's interesting to you and become the quote unquote expert. Become the expert on that subject. Get books about that subject. Find YouTubes about it. You know, do some wormhole research. You talk to your pastor, talk to your mentor, talk to other people within the church about that specific subject. And there's thousands, there's literally thousands of subjects that you can pick. What interests you? So start there. Start with what interests you. Many, many people are interested in Revelations and the end times. People think that's, you know, the spooky, scary part of the Bible. And it's a really interesting wormhole that you can jump into. Maybe you want to learn about the angelic, what it's like to have angels on this earth, or maybe you want to learn more about meditation or healing or miracles, or there's hundreds and hundreds of topics that you can pick. So you just start with the one that's most interesting to you and go nuts. You know, just go down the rabbit hole and see how deep you can go with it. And as you seek, God will start revealing the truth in that. The third thing that you can do to make your journey with God part of your everyday lifestyle is to share your faith with other people. Just start talking to other people. And look, Pastor T, I'm not talking about being like this annoying guy that just won't shut up about the thing. I'm talking about making it part of your everyday conversations. It's woven into who you are, and people come to know you by that. Not this holier-than-thou religious attitude, what you think they should think about a Christian. I'm not talking about all that stuff. I'm just talking about, like you always say, being the youest you possible. And if you're born again, the youest you is in Christ. And you're gonna testify. You're gonna talk about it. You're gonna share about who you are. And don't worry about where the chips fall. If somebody thinks you're being religious or thinks you're trying to be holier than thou, don't worry about what they think. What they think is none of your business. Just be true to yourself. Just be genuine with yourself. And number four, I would say keep the Holy Spirit with you. And what I mean by that is, often we put the Holy Spirit in a box. We say, you wait over here while I go to do this thing. Years and years ago, when I was a youth, I was on a retreat, and there was a drama group that came in. And in the group, they had this kid who got born again, and there was another kid who was like Jesus. You know, he was dressed like Jesus, and he followed him. So after he got born again, he just kind of followed him around the room. And he'd go downstairs and visit with his parents, and Jesus would come with him. And then he'd go hang out with his brothers, and Jesus would be with him. So this goes on for a little while. He gets a phone call, and it's from one of his friends, and his friend says, hey, we're going to have this party, and there's going to be a bunch of girls here, and there's going to be some alcohol, and it's going to be a total rager. My parents are gone, and you should come. And so he's like, okay, man, I'm coming. This is going to be awesome. Hangs up the phone, and he starts leaving the room, and Jesus follows him. And he turns around, grabs Jesus by the shoulders, and walks him back 5 feet. And then he walks back towards the door, and Jesus follows him. Mm-hmm. And he turns around, grabs Jesus by the shoulder, and walks him back 5 feet. And he says, no, you stay here. Mm-hmm. And he walks to the door, and Jesus follows him. And he turns around, and he's frustrated now. And he said, no, I told you to stay here. And he walks Jesus back 5 feet, and he nails him. He nails his hands and his feet. So he's like stuck in place, like in the kind of crucifix position. And he's like, now stay here. And he walks to the door to go out to this party. And then, of course, the youth pastor comes out, and he gave us this really great explanation about how we do this in our lives. We kind of pick and choose where we want Jesus to follow us, where we want Jesus to be. And so I think one of the most important parts about making this journey real with God and making him part of your everyday lifestyle is that you keep the Holy Spirit with you. Don't nail him back to the cross. Don't pin him up in your room when you're like, I want to go sin right now. I want to go do something that I want to do that you're not going to like. It's just like when you and I go out to lunch with somebody and they self-correct what they're saying all the time because, mm-hmm. Oh, we're pastors, you know?
Right.
So they're like, they say a bad word and they apologize to us, you know? And it's like, well, I appreciate the respect, but you're missing the mark. You're missing it. You don't need to apologize to me for it. I mean,
right.
You can apologize because I don't like it, and that's fine, but don't apologize to me just because you're acting this way because I'm a pastor and that's how you think you're supposed to act around me. If you know you're supposed to act right, if you know that's not appropriate, then you should act right everywhere else you go.
Right.
You should make an effort to not be that way everywhere else you are. So
that really calls you to the quick, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the overarching point is that you just keep the Holy Spirit with you. And one of the best ways to keep the Holy Spirit with you, honestly, is to pray in the Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and just keep that relationship alive. And then the last point I want to make about making your journey with God part of your everyday lifestyle is just attending church attending church gatherings and attending events. If you really want to make this part of your everyday lifestyle, get out with people. Go do the things. You know, we at Strong Tower, for example, we have all these teams. Right. And these teams have different tasks, right? So get on the team. There's a team that mows the lawn, the groundskeeping. Mm-hmm. You know, get on the team. Get out there and do the stuff. I know on the surface, it seems like, oh, I'm just mowing the lawn or picking these weeds. But it's so much more than that. Yes, it is those things. You are tending to God's house. There is blessing in that. But the real blessing is being around church people, mm-hmm. doing things, being involved in what's going on. So I would say, yeah, take time to, you know, do fellowship meetings and, you know, Bible studies and have people to your house, but also just be involved with other Christians who are doing other Christian things. Mm-hmm. Just totally get yourself immersed in the culture and in the body of Christ. And you'll be surprised how easy it becomes to make these things part of your natural lifestyle. And then over time, if you do that over time, not like, well, I've done it for a year and I didn't see any change. I'm talking about commit to doing it for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And over vast periods of time, you will see the major changes in your life that you so desperately desire.
Amen. That is such good practical advice. And I like that it requires us to look at opportunity. The opportunity is there. It is just up to us to take that opportunity to enter in and be part. Pastor David, thank you for your time, for coming in here and for sharing some of the things, the nuggets that you got but couldn't deliver on a Sunday. I really like that we get to get in a little deeper with you. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I appreciate your time as well.
Thank you for listening and for joining us here at Daily Bread. The message is a different breed. Go back on the YouTubes, follow the link, look it up, get it in ya. It's good. And until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again for listening. Without your faithful support, we wouldn't be able to do the work that God has called us to. If you know someone who would be blessed by what you just heard, please pass this along. At Strong Tower, we believe that you are a unique expression of God's love and creativity, and we consider it an honor to be a part of your journey. There's no one like